Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good evening and welcome to Prepare Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host, and it is Tuesday night, so we are talking about getting healed. And we've been talking about hindrances to getting healed, and this is basically interference that happens when the Lord wants to heal us, but there is something that is interfering with the process. And again, our goal is to learn how to rule and reign over these interferences, which is one of the main reasons God allows them to happen, is so that we can learn from the experience. There are a lot of examples, just to address a couple questions that have come up. There are a lot of examples in the scriptures about different ways that Jesus healed and different admonitions to the church in regards to form and process that, for instance, Paul recommended. And basically what we want to come away with, rather than looking at the different examples of how and patterns of Jesus' approach to healing or Paul's or Peter's or anyone's, instead what we want to look at is where did they go? How did they learn how to heal others? And what we find is that that's the pattern that we want to duplicate. Not what they did, but how they arrived at what they did. So, how did Jesus heal people? He had learned to go to his Father and then follow his Father's directions. Likewise, Paul had learned how to go to the Lord and follow the directions he was given. This is exactly what we can do. And it's great to have these examples and the diversity of examples. And one thing I've always found interesting is that Jesus never prayed for someone the same way twice. Many were healed just by coming to him, and some were not even aware of his praying for them. I'm thinking of Lazarus and the daughter, I believe, of the soldier who he just sent the word of healing, and the woman who touched his garment. He never consciously prayed for them. It was never the active conduit of healing. So we don't want to focus on form, but rather distinguish the pattern, which was dependence on God himself. Just as Jesus learned how to receive healing that he needed, we know he was rejected and hurt and wounded, and he received healing by going to his Father and then learned through that how to heal others the same way by going to the Father. So that's the pattern we want to look at. there may come a time when God says, yes, anoint with oil, pray for them following this pattern, lay your hands on them. There's nothing either wrong or right with how that's done. We look throughout history, and there are great controversies regarding how to give a blessing. What should you really include in the Lord's Prayer? And we never want to get caught up in form. Instead, knowing that God loves us and wants to speak to us and reveal himself to us, and he wants us healed and whole on his terms, we can go to him and ask, Lord, what do we do in this case? And what happens when we do that? We make ourselves available to be the conduit, to be the link between God and the need that he wants to meet. And in so many ways, this is one of the ways we have to change our concept of obedience. Obedience is not learning to do the right thing and then doing it, regardless of what it costs us. Obedience is depending on God completely and then doing what he says. Now, one of the things that happens when we follow that pattern is within us, we recognize our lack of contribution, because all we're doing is obeying. It's not a matter of our faith or anointing or teaching or gifting or anything. And so for those who are looking for a name or recognition or attention, this way is going to challenge those ideas. Because when you know all you're doing is plugging in, you're available to God, and he's saying, okay, I'm going to use you, do this. We recognize it's not anything about us other than being available. Now, there's also that weird dichotomy that the skill of being able to know his voice from experience, the recognition of an acknowledgement of the warfare that it takes to be able to hear him and to know him. We acknowledge and appreciate the appreciation for the work and the effort that goes into that part of our relationship with God. It is work. It is sometimes very time-consuming and takes great effort to enter into rest, to deal with what God wants us to deal with. But it is not the action that we are working at. It is our relationship with him. We've used the example many times that we're sitting at dinner with God. And whether he says, pass the salt, or heal the lame, or raise the dead, it's all the same to us. we hear him say, go do. And we go do. And we come right back and we pick up the conversation we were having with him. Because what we are doing is an outgrowth of our relationship with him. It is merely one of the many colors in the tapestry that he's making our lives into. It's a reflection of our new character. So it's nothing to be drawing attention to. And in some ways, we want to be careful of or be aware of the pitfalls that come from learning to depend on God. We've talked many times that as you hear his voice and know him, and I'm not just talking about hearing a voice, but developing that relationship with him, that you are not only a target of your enemies, because now you are a danger to them, but also because you are depending on God, he is being lifted up in you. And by that, you will draw attention to yourself. You'll recognize that it's not you. But you will have to be on guard that you remember that it's not you. The part you can rejoice in and acknowledge is not that the healing part, but the effort that you have put in getting to know God. I love the Madame Guyon story about where she had come to a point in her relationship with God where people in the town that had where she was staying had heard such great things about her relationship with God and how she could heal even far advanced cases of all kinds of diseases. And there's this one case where a woman with probably cancer had been sent home from the hospital to die. The doctors, the physicians have given up all hope. And she had given up all hope. But she heard of Madame Guyon and had sought an opportunity to speak to her. And a friend took her. And she was able to spend some time with her. And she came out of her audience with Jean Guyon, and her friend asked her, how did it go? What happened? And her answer was, I have to know God. I need to know God. And her friend said, yes, yes, but what about your cancer? And her response was, oh, yes, well, that was healed, but I have to know God. I have to know him. And that's what we want to look at, is we never want to get in anything we're learning, because we'll be getting into the different gifts and the different operations of the Spirit and a variety of different senses and sensory activities, supernatural activities that we should be exercising on a regular basis. But we never want to be using those as a way to attract attention. God himself will draw to us, to you, whom he wants to minister to. And as long as your focus is on
God himself. They will go away saying, oh, I want to know God. I've got to know God. Please, God, reveal yourself. I want to know you. Rather than, oh, that was really, you know, God must be real because that person knew all the things about my life. Or he had a word of knowledge about this, that, or the other thing. Or he could heal me. Or he healed me. Or this. We never want that to be the attraction. So there's a warning for us to not be looking and focused on the healing, either the getting healed or the healing of others. Instead, it's a way, a huge way, that God draws our attention to him. So I hope that helps. The reason it's so important that we know his voice is because he doesn't have restrictions on how he moves to heal us or heal others. When you look back at some of the Old Testament prophets and the things that God asked them to do, would it be unseemly for him to ask those things of us? You know, to lie naked in the street as a warning against the city for years. To take a prostitute for a wife. And on and on. And the whole point being, are we going to tell God, this is the way you heal? Or this is the way you don't heal? If he says do something, are you going to say no? So we don't want to look for a rote, for a pattern or a method. Even the prayers we say, which we've talked before a little bit about, what is prayer? It's much more to get, shall we say, grease our wheels, to get our thoughts going, to get our focus centered on him. It's sort of like turning the key in the ignition, and then we're off. So it's not that it has any influence with God saying the right things, but very often what it does is it kickstarts our engine. So there's certainly nothing wrong with starting out with an approach or a prayer and setting our minds on what God wants for any given period of time. It's just we don't want to focus on it. We don't want to depend on it. So we look at all the offers on TV and how they have so many of them taken some of the patterns that Paul, I believe, got from God, you know, about sending the handkerchief that provided healing, that gave healing. And it's been marketed and commercialized. Now, does that mean that God doesn't honor that and doesn't tell us to do things like that? No, the whole point is we have to ask God. We have to be hearing from him. We have to be relying and focused on his life to provide life. we've been going through and talking about how other forms of healing can be happening even when we are praying for healing, that there are other things that might be going on. And so we never want to presume about what God is doing in our lives or someone else's life. And the most reliable way of doing that is to just be focusing on what God is telling us to do at any given time. That's the safety. That's the security. It's not knowing what was done in the past. It's living in the present. That's where God is. Let's join him in what he's doing now. So I hope that answers those questions. Now, if you've got any more questions you'd like to call in with, feel free to give a call in now, 718-664-6988, about getting healed and especially about hindrances and about our particular approach or about any other specific questions. If you've got a need for healing or you'd like to have information about getting healing going in your life, in your ministry, we'd be happy to talk to you about that. Again, it's 718-664-6988, or if you want to drop me a line, you can do that through the email on the promo page, profile page, or just drop me a line at nc.diane@gmail.com. So we've been talking about hindrances to getting healed, and we talked about the opposition that comes from the world, the flesh, and the devil, that as soon as we start taking the ground that should be rightfully ours as far as healing in our soul and in our body, we become enemies of our enemy, and they set up roadblocks and hindrances. And we talked about how the world system hinders our healing by putting restrictions on what we believe God and God can and cannot do. That's just one example of how the world system hinders our healing. We also talked about how our flesh hinders our healing by doing whatever is necessary to maintain its control over our beliefs. Again, what we think God can and can't do, it keeps us from relying on him. And for those healings that must come from him, that's what we want to look for. Lord, is there anything hindering us? And in fact, let's just go ahead and stop right now and make sure that there is no interferences before we get into the next topic. We just take authority over any hindrances and any opposition to what the Lord wants to do in this period of time. For those listening live and for those who hear this by the podcast, we just take authority over all interference. You must go now. You must go either sit in the corner and abide by the Lord's directions to you, or you must leave now and you must go where Jesus sends you. And you must take with you all your scar tissue, all your ramifications, all your lies and misbeliefs. And you cannot come back. And you must take all your chains and locks and lies with you and bad emotions and stirring up the pot. The past memories that you've been stirring up, you must take them with you too. So, Lord, is there any other hindrances that we need to deal with? And we just come against any resistance to new ideas, new concepts. Change is hard, but Lord, we just ask that you give the strength to change, and we come against all the beliefs resistance. Lord, that you would just give us that hunger and thirst for you, that there would be nothing that would keep us from relying fully on you. And once we recognize it's from you, to accept truth. Lord, you are the one who gets to decide what is true. It's not us. And we trust that you can make yourself known. You can make yourself clear. And you can make truth known to us. Lord, is there anything else that is hindering us? Lord, impatience. We just come against that impatience. Lord, whether it's the world, the flesh, or the devil, or just our natural tendencies to want things now, we just come against that. And we just allow you to bring that patience that we need, work that into us. It's part of our character and our spirit, Lord. We just ask that you would work that into our soul where we need it as well. So we're going to go a little long, a little past our time here. So if you're listening live, you'll probably need to go and listen to the podcast. So, Lord, is there anything else we need to address right now? Expectations. We just, Lord, just ask that you stir up our expectations and align them with you. And we're not going to put our trust in these expectations, but we're going to appreciate that you give us the motivation and you give us the desire. And we ask that you make us sensitive to our expectations, that we see that as one of the ways you get our attention, that you draw our focus on our, according to our expectations, that as we expect you to move and make yourself known, that when you do that, when you draw our attention or you make your presence known, we will respond and we make that commitment to you, Lord. And we know that you are the one who will follow through on that commitment as well. So, Lord, is there anything else we need to deal with now? Just on another subject, we're going to just toss in a quick, Lord, there's things going on in other countries, within governments, Lord, that there's a great sifting, and especially in France and Germany, political and social, Lord, that there's been a breach of trust. And this has been in their social and cultural division that has been brought on, that has been been taken advantage of by demonic entities that have legal rights to be there. And Lord, while you deal with the legal rights, we just ask that you give clarity to those that in a position to expose and correct what needs to be exposed and corrected in those countries, Lord. So we just take authority over the fog that is keeping these things hidden, and we bring these things to light so that those who need to see can now see. We take authority over those things right now. So, Lord, is there anything else we need to address? Good. Okay. Well, now we're going to actually get into try to move the teaching forward a little bit. And we're going to talk a little bit about the devil. The devil hinders our healing through both specific and general oppression. So the devil knows that as we are healed, he loses access to us through our flesh and wounds. He also knows that our being healed from wounds frees us to be available for God's life to flow through us. He knows that his greatest enemy is the whole, complete Son, you, me, living in dependence on the Father. So, to keep his control, he does whatever he can to prevent that healing from taking place. He will even go so far as to perpetuate the feeling of being wounded, even after the wound has been healed. We overcome the enemy through the authority of specific truth, seeking the Lord and learning how to take authority and dominion over him and his demons. We'll pick that up again there next Tuesday, and just thinking that's what we were meant to cover, just sort of is encouraging to me that that's why he gave us what he gave in regards to dealing and over taking authority over some areas of that were in regard to what we're doing here, but also on a larger scale, because we definitely want to take out some of the complexity and some of the big, you know, any concerns people have in regard to the simplicity of following God, following his lead is simple. Knowing him is simple. It's not easy because it's not under our control, but it is simple. So hopefully our little talk with God and taking authority before talking about the way the devil hinders our healing gave us a good example of this is what it looks like, this is what it sounds like, this is how we do it. Not a big whoop-de-doo, okay? It's we do it. We hear him and we follow through. So, again, we'll pick up there next Tuesday, and we'll be going into specific steps for overcoming the world, the flesh, and the devil. But for now, just let your belief systems begin to get used to the idea that there could be unexpected explanations for hindrances. So, just as we're learning to let God out of his box, we are also learning that we can rely on God to keep us safe as we let him adjust our beliefs regarding other influences in our lives. We're also climbing out of our box. Now it's an adventure. And it's not, there's many aspects of it that are not under our control. But one of the things that will alleviate our stress and decrease the risk of making big errors is putting in the time, the effort, and the energy into those areas that we do have control over. It's like when you go driving down the road, you can't control what the other drivers are going to do, but you can have your seatbelt on. You can be following the rules of the road. You can be driving alertly, not on your cell phone. Okay, you can be driving the best way you can. You can't control what others are going to do, but you can do what's under your control. And that reduces the risk. And that's what we want to look in with our relationship with God, is how can we reduce our risk of making mistakes that we don't need to. And that's what we're looking at, is how do we know him? How do we test his voice? So, thanks for tuning in. We'll be getting back together again on Thursday at 6:30 to discuss more about hearing his voice, knowing him, and developing that intimate, dependent relationship with him. Thanks for tuning in. Keep those questions coming, and go ahead and visit over at wecanprepare.org and drop a line over there or leave a comment, and we'll try to get back with you through that. if you need to register through there, just to leave a comment, and you have any problems with that whatsoever, feel free to drop me a line about that as well. At nc.diane, D-I-A-N-N-E. Let's just go with the, hopefully this will be an easier email address. That's diane@wecanprepare.org. So one way or another, get a hold of me, and we'll see what we can do about getting you registered if you're having any trouble. So, again, thanks for tuning in, and have a great rest of the evening.